in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the funny thing is, anyone that comes into a prayer atmosphere, you are coming because you believe that there is a God that has an ability to do what you cannot do. Am I right? When somebody, of course, goes to church, it's believed that you went to church so that you will receive something from God. But watch very well. I will say this. I'm not preaching, just a very short admonishment, a short exhortation, just a little talk for Christians, believers, for people that are seeking the Lord Jesus. You know, I love making this statement. The Christian faith has been bastardized so much that too many errors have crept into Christianity. Even like the drugs we give to some people now, it will surprise you that somebody will look at that drugs with a Bible reference attached to it, directing you to a passage in the scripture, correcting that error that is being pointed out. And you will see somebody getting angry with what is being pointed out, with an error that you are, that is direct, that you are being directed to the scripture to see it. And the reason you are angry is because that is not what you have been taught, or maybe it is going contrary to what your GO told you. And that is the most terrible estate of Christianity. I don't know, maybe the little thing I will say today will help someone that is here listening to me, or someone that is watching me within this little time I have. It's been so messed up until, listen, child of God, the only authority we have as believers is the Bible. Now, I don't know what takes you to church. The truth is, some people, like I would always say, they are going to get the gifts from the giver of the gifts instead of searching for the giver that has the gifts. And that is why you have gone to places where you will be messed up. The reason is because you have not taken out time to make the Bible your anchor. Especially if you are watching with us for the first time, that is why I said you did not come here by accident. You will not know us for now. It is when you begin to listen to the teachings, because it is a Bible-based church. You've not taken out time to guide yourself by the rudiments and the precepts of the scripture. That is why you can be messed up anyhow. That is why you would go to a place where water will be sold to you. And the truth is, what you are looking for is because you are looking for gift. When I say the gift, you are either looking for one miracle or one deliverance somewhere. You don't care how it comes. Let me just have deliverance. It means you are the type that if they tell you that there is deliverance in the house of a babalawo, you will go. But now, a lot of people don't want to look as if they are going to babalawo. So, anywhere they see the name church, or they add Jesus behind it, they will want to go, even if they know that the thing that is being done there, something is wrong, it's not scriptural. All they want is their result. And if you are that type of Christian, you are heading to a, you are embarking on a journey of no return. And probably you are the reason why God is making me so wet, I am saying now. Error has crept so much into the Christian faith until when truth is presented, truth is no more accepted. That is why there is that story of the naked truth. That crept so much. But we thank Jesus that we are on the right path. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord Jesus that as many of us that have decided to follow the Bible by its word, then you are on the right path. There is this scripture when Apostle Paul was speaking about the Christian faith. There are so many people that go to church. Some might even be here because the year is winding up. They want to receive things from the Lord, but they are ashamed to present themselves as Christians. Why do I say? It's not as if they don't bear Christian names. It's not as if they don't tell people they go to church. But when it comes to obeying the word of God to the letter, they shy away from it. And you hear them say, I beg, I beg, I beg, I beg. Just take it easy. Life is not like that. No, they carry church for head. But what did Apostle Paul say? There is something Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed. I said, it's an exaltation. I want to talk to somebody. This might be the reason, if you are a seed of God and God directed your footstep here or caused you to listen to me, this might be the only thing that will bring deliverance to you. Maybe you've been going up and down and nothing has worked. God is looking at somebody that is dictating to him how he or she will worship him. You don't dictate to him. You follow him by his precepts and his rudiments. Don't worship God the way you want to worship him. Worship him the way he wants you to worship him, by his word. Look at what Apostle Paul said. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when he says unto salvation, being saved from the original sin, and not only that, also being saved from the calamities of the world. It is double, because the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, he came to give you eternal life, and not only eternal life, he also came to give you an hundredfold here on earth. When you seek him first, if you are truly his own, I am saying this in, maybe a child of God that is listening to me will hear me. Hear me clearly. If you are truly his own and you have been drawing your legs backwards, I'm talking to someone, to surrender your totality to him. You are still giving him time, Abby. Continue. The truth is, as far as his word, his rudiments are concerned, every other thing can only be added to you when you seek his kingdom first, if you are his own. The earlier, the better. You run to him, whose name is a strong tower, which the Bible said the righteous runneth unto him and are saved. And when he says the righteous, he's speaking of they that have a right standing with him, that are operating by his standard for their day. And there is a standard for our day. You better listen to it and run for your life if you are his own. The center will never hold, though. It is the truth. The center can never hold if you are his own, until you allow him and you give him all. That songwriter wrote, he said, I give you all. He said, I give you all, everything. He said, give me you. He said, give me you. Every other thing can wait.
give me you. Hope I'm not too late. Give me you. Everything else turn away. Give me you. Hope I'm not too late.
If you are listening to me, it is not too late. Child of God listening to me here now, you know that all this while he has been calling you. The truth is, what I am saying, I didn't plan to say it. All along I've been saying, trying to see what do I really give out to the people. So when I sat down, I just say, well, Lord, when I get to the altar, guide me and give me a word to deliver to your people. All along he's been drawing you. If it is only you that I am talking to, and you can look and retract your steps and come back to him, because today is the day he has appointed to make you know that it is time for you to be serious with him, and tell him to give that you will give out the whole of you. Don't give him part of you. That today you are serious with him, and then the next day you are serious with your friends and trying to get attracted to the things of the world. The more I say it, the more I hear the voice of the Lord that keeps telling me to say it, that he is speaking to a child of his here. And if only today you will tell him, Lord, the whole of my heart I pour out to you. I am assuring you, if it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is guiding me to say what I am saying, the manifestation of the thing that will begin to happen in your life will be the interpretation that truly the Lord is asking you to surrender all to him now. Enough of all of those play, because the God that we serve is not a joker. He's too serious doing what he is doing on earth. And that's why that popular scripture that even from my secondary school days, it's known, everybody can quote it, almost everybody here knows it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And in verse 17 he made a statement. He said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Listen, the person I am talking to, the Lord is saying that you should remove condemnation from you. You think you have done too much until you've failed him. You failed him, you are feeling bad. He did not send his son to condemn you, and he's telling you now that he is not also condemning you. His hands are wide open to receive you again. You know why? Because he has prepared today for your deliverance. And hear the voice of the Lord. Do not allow today pass you by. There are some opportunities that when you miss, it will take you another decade to come across that opportunity again. And hear my voice, whoever it is that the Lord is directing this to. He is giving you that opportunity now. Let it not break out of you. There is something, Apostle Paul, there is a statement. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't you know that he created you to serve him? The person I am talking to, because I am so sure he keeps making me to know that he has directed these words for one of his child, for his child that has gone astray. And because he has purposed to bless that child, this is not the sermon I'm supposed to preach now. All I'm supposed to do is to come now and then say one or two things and we'll bless that water. But I kept telling him, help me. That his child, you are the reason. You know that he has decided to break an uncommon yoke in your life. You know he's the only one that can break you out of what you are. You know it. He's giving you an opportunity again. Apostle Paul made a statement. Oh, we that are in him. Don't you know that it is beautiful to serve this God? You know it, so why is it difficult for you? Why? We are traveling on the right way. We are on the right path. We are on the right path because we are walking with he that shouted and made a statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when he made that statement, it was not just a mere statement. It was a statement of reality, fact, truth. Because we that have decided to surrender our totality to him, we have experienced him that he is through. I've seen that this God whom the Bible made mention in John chapter 4 verse 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to that Samaritan woman, that and he said, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have confirmed that truly that God is real. It's a spirit. He operates in a realm that is beyond natural. We have experienced the supernatural realm, and we have seen that it is real, that there is a God of the scriptures that does what he says he will do. And no wonder that songwriter wrote, he said, we are traveling on the right road. Hey, we are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin upon. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? You know the people he is speaking of? They that are redeemed by his blood. There is a song that the angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. There is a song that angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now found. There is a song. There is a song that angels cannot sing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. There is a song that angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There is something, Apostle Paul, there is a statement, the beauty of this faith that we hold on to. You that he is talking to, the Lord is directing me to ask you, since you've been running away from him, what is it that you have gained? Don't you know that the ladder to your upliftment and your breakthrough is in him? It is high time you allow him to hug you. There is something Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see it from verse 18. Is it because of the ridicule that will come upon you, what people will say to you, that is making you draw back from whom he is? Don't you know that before you were born, you have been his own? If you notice, if you see, I am talking direct as if I am conversing with somebody, because I am dishing out what is being given to me to give to somebody that is listening to me now. You better know that the voice of the Lord is speaking to you. May you not lose this opportunity. It might be something you will not see again in a very long time. Because each time I keep saying it, there is this strong witness in my spirit that the hand of God has come to deliver his own that has been held under a terrible bondage. But all he needs from you is that you will allow him and his blood to speak against the accuser of the brethren. If you don't open up your heart and allow him, there is a petition against your life that is already there in the spirit. And he is a God that operates by principles, and he cannot break that principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Listen, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What we are in as a Christian, you are in a realm that the natural mind cannot understand, that can break every other thing that is around. Let me continue. To them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Have you experienced the power of God, child of God? And he's telling you, come to me. Because in the preaching of the gospel, when he say the preaching of the gospel, that unto us that are saved is the power of God, it is speaking of the thing that will be born out of the preaching of the gospel. It is not the preaching itself. But it is why it is the power of God. It is because it is testifying of something that broke the door, something that tore the veil of the Holy of Holies and gave you access to the Creator of heavens and earth. That is the power of God. That is the preaching of the gospel achieves that in your life. Let us continue. It is the power of God. Verse 19. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Say, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And till today, I was speaking with one man yesterday. If I talk, go up, talk down, the man will say, he's well. Say, we should. And I will not blame him. Everything he was saying, the man has concluded that church is business. There is nothing he said, the man kept, if we talk, go here. By the time we end, the man will bring me back and say, sir, church is business. That is how the Christian faith has been reduced to nothing. In those days, that if you are addressed as a pastor, as a clergy, you will be respected. But this day, if you are addressed as a clergy, you are the first suspect. Now, but listen to me. It is only an agenda of Satan to mess up this beautiful faith. Nothing more. It's an agenda. But the truth is that the foundation of God standeth sure. The Bible says, so having this seal, and he said, God knoweth those that are his. And he will allow the world. It is also part of God's agenda too. He permitted it. So that in the midst of the rottenness, whereby the Bible says all tables are full of vomit, they that have a yearning for the truth of the word, we yearn and they will find it. Because the Bible says, blessed are they that taste, in Matthew chapter 5, that taste and hunger after righteousness. The Bible says they will be filled. That is why you will always hear pastors say, when you come to the bride assembly, what you are looking for, you will see it. And if it is the word, the undiluted word of God that has the power to liberate and break you two into the realm of eternal life, you will see it there. Here. Let me continue. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of the world, by wisdom knew not God. They cannot know him by wisdom. And it is too much of wisdom that is making people rate Christianity by what they rate it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ. What? Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called. Is there any that is called here? Unto them which are called. Is there any that is called here? If there is any that is called, say, I am called. Say, I am called. Both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I remember when I was talking with that man yesterday, the man even said, thank God that his business is moving on well. That his business is not suffering. His business is really prospering. Say, had it been his business was not prospering, that he will close it up and go and open church. May God help this faith. That is why at times when you see us talk the way you talk, we talk. When you see pastor come here to face some errors that are crept into Christianity, people will say he is condemning. Why are you calling name? Face your own and preach. There are people that are, their job, they've been catapulted by the devil to mess up the Christian faith. So when you see him talking that way, don't be surprised. I looked at the man, I said, sir, because he knows I just, a conversation went on with me and him the other time that I had to tell him, Google the name of my pastor so that you will know our church and check some of our messages. So when I was talking with him yesterday, I said, sir, if it were to be money in Bride Assembly, I said the overseer of that church will not be a pastor. If money is what he's looking for, he has other things that will fetch him millions, if not billions. I looked at him, I said, sir, okay, let me not go too far to my pastor. I say, me, at least let me use myself as an example. That if it was money I am looking for or needed, nothing on earth will make me decide that I want to follow Christ. Because there are too many things I have to do that will make me to bend, that will not abide by the Christian faith, and it will fetch me too much money. Too much money. When I say too much money, I mean too much money. But when Christ caught up with me, there is something in me that will not allow me go that way again. There are seeds of God. Now looking at him, saying our money, we know we, as we did, there are people that are saying that we are the ones that are the masters of the game. They need us in the game, but we can't go back into the game. Child of God, it is high time you run to him. How beautiful it is that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can stand and you will have peace of mind. It is only they that are truly in him, that abide by his word, that can truly have lasting peace. The kind of peace that he said, I give you peace, not as the world giveth. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. A peace that surpasses all knowledge. The beauty of being in him. Christ. The power of God and the wisdom of God. That yearning was so much, so much, so much. In the heart of that songwriter that looked at the wondrous things that the Lord has done. And he began to say, I surrender,
I surrender all.
I surrender,
I surrender
all to thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender,
I surrender.
The world, the year is coming to an end. And that is the best gift you can give him in appreciation to what he has done for you. And someone, as you wouldn't relent to surrender everything to him, your life will never remain the same. There are processes, but I wouldn't go into that. Take out time, because I really would have loved to go down on Tuesday like this to really break down our teachings on water baptism. I would have really loved to do it, but I believe the Lord led me otherwise. But there are three works of grace in the life of a believer: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a process, and a process has stages. Don't allow those that are coming up with deceptive heresies to push you out of the way. The significance of these three things are important and necessary. And justification is when you stand before God like you have never sinned before. And it's when you believe him, you repent, you accept him, and you are baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to our archives. Take our teachings on correct water baptism. I will just drop this so that maybe somebody hearing me for the first time will be curious to listen to it. If maybe you've been baptized as a sincere Christian wanting to serve this God, and you went through your baptismal class and they took you into that water and baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, you have been deceived sincerely. It is wrong scripturally. Correct water baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not break into that. But listen, when we close, if you are just and you are curious, because a true Christian, the Berean Christians were noted for the ability or for the habit of listening and going to verify. Any sincere Christian, when you hear something that looks strange from the thing you have heard before, and the person telling you is pointing you to the Bible, you will want to go and verify if you truly does not want to joke with your faith. And once again, whoever it is that the Lord is pointing this admonishment to, do not allow today pass you by, because God has prepared today to deliver you. And then you will now understand why he made a statement in John chapter 19. Let's see John chapter 19 verse 2, verse 30. John chapter 19 verse 30. Somebody today, I declare, because you have heard this word, the hand of the Lord comes upon your life in the name of Jesus. I am making a statement that will not fail. I say, because you have heard this word, the hand of God comes upon you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will bring you under his covenant blood by his mercy in the name of Jesus. He said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, that is when he was crucified, when he was going to prepare a place for you, when he was going to break the power of sin, when he was going to step into the realm that cannot stop him on your behalf, and an announcement was made in Psalm 24 verse 7, he said, lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be thou lifted up, thou everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, verse 7, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who? Verse 8, Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. It was through the cross that this was achieved. So let's see John 19, verse 30. When he was going to achieve this, he made this statement in John 19, verse 30, on your behalf. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Rise up on your feet.